Welcome to the Carl and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, didn't last week's show go so well?
It was fabulous. Like, talking with John and Nathan, we had to have them back because we only touched the surface. And this is what I love about this type of conversation. It can just go forever. And it doesn't matter whether there's any truth to it. But the fact is, I want to introduce some truth today. But I did want to start off. My question to...
Hang on, let's introduce Nathan McGrath and John Stimson. G'day. Welcome to the show, guys.
That's so rude. That's terrible of me. Welcome back. Welcome back from last week.
You're so rude, Sean.
I know. Sorry, I apologise. Now, my question to both of you. Now, I think, Nathan, to be fair, I don't think... I'm going to say both teams are overrated. And they've been overrated by their supporters and the media. Now, the reason I say that, in 2018, Port finished 10th and Crows were 12th. Right, so if we go back a season, if we look at the Brownlow medal count in 2018, so I wonder... Rory Laird was the top Crows player, 6th with 19. Ollie Wines came in at 19th with 14. Then we had to go down to Bryce Gibbs at 43rd position in the Brownlow count. Matt Crouch on 47.
You think the umpires give points
anything? Yeah. Anyway, actually, I looked up the stats, and you Crows got a much worse this in terms of frees against. Right, they had more frees given against them than any team this year. So you've got something to complain about. Now, the other thing is, like, if we look at the All-Australian team, this year only two players in the actual top 40 squad, neither of them then made the actual team. So, and only one player, Daniel Talia, and we had, who was the Port player?
Travis Boak.
That's it. Now,
but
if we look at some of the stats, and look at some of the stats out there, like, for example, we look at the AFL rankings, Rory Sloan, 22nd. Travis Boak, 33. Robbie Gray, 36. Then we're jumping down. Paddy Ryder, who's going to probably lose his spot, 57. Scott Lysett, 70. Tom Lynch, 81. I mean, the Crows have only got four players ranked in the top 100 based on all the stats.
How many have Carlton got in that?
More, actually.
Exactly. So what's that tell you about those stats?
What I'm wondering is, do we in South Australia build up our team so much, and this is a big question, a long question, that we actually, our teams are overrated and they're not as good as we think they are?
First of all, just clarify. Now Nathan, you're Port Power. And John, you're the Adelaide Crows. Now, first off, Nathan.
I think those numbers do a disservice to the clubs. Yes, I think the teams are overrated because we're a two-town team. That's always going to happen. But things like the Brownlow,
Sure, showing the standard player on your team.
No, as a foreigner, I think it's the most bloody ridiculous thing in the world that you get umpires to decide on the players. It's absolutely absurd, particularly with the Victoria-centric stuff. And that's coming from a Port fan, and we don't have the kick of it chip on our shoulder that the Crows fans do. Generally.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And then you look at the All-Australian. It's a popularity contest. It's just crazy that these things are given so much weight. I just don't believe them. When you look at the coaches' ratings, I think, is a better one. The Coaches Player of the Year Award, where they give them from each side and the impact of the game. They're the things that start to make sense. And then when you see that, it kind of balances out a bit over the clubs. You don't get Carlton getting ridiculous amounts. Look at Walsh this year for Carlton. He won the Rising Star. He was a solid midfielder. He's a bloody good player. But Rosie's going to be flying past him at some stage. You know, it's just a different level. And it's just crazy. It's just, and I know it's from the amateur era, and I know it's from the Victorian era, you know, the VFL era and stuff. But it's just, there's way too much weight into that stuff.
You know, I understand that, but I think what you'll find that previously, when it was a VFL, and we had the SNFL was our strong comp and everything like that, there was a lot of... there was a lot of hype and a lot of the great players did get recognised, whereas, as you say, nowadays it just seems to be a mixed bag. It seems to be not as significant today as it was in the past.
And when you look at the All-Australian, I watch every Crows game. I probably watch about three or four games a week, to be honest, but I make sure I watch the Crows game. Talia shouldn't have made All-Australian this year. Boak was very good until he got injured and was moved to a forward, and, you know, I'm surprised he didn't actually make it, but... You know, for Port, for example, Dan Houston was much better than Travis Boak all year, and he didn't even get a look in.
And you know, you look at players that actually didn't make the All-Australian team this year. Nat Fyfe didn't make it. Martin didn't make it from Richmond. You put some of their really good games together, and they've been better than most of the Adelaide or Port Adelaide players this year. It is a bit of a popularity contest amongst the media people that are part of the selection process. I mean, the other thing that seems really weird is the players voting on themselves. Well, the players only get to see another team play a couple of times a year, maybe. So how do they know?
And they're certainly not watching free on
the court. They're not watching all the games. They might watch who they're going to be playing next week.
Yeah, but in that way they'll get to play. They'll get to see most of the
games. They get to see it, but they don't get to see every game, and therefore it's again, a bit of a popularity contest.
I think one of the problems with the Crows and Port Power this year, like Port Power, they'd win this week really well, then they'd lose, and they'd win, then they'd lose. So there was that inconsistency.
Yo-yo exercise.
But and with the Crows, they'd win in bunches, lose in bunches, and I think that's what...
And that's something that must be frustrating for you guys, because we have seen both teams this season, even though they haven't made the finals, play some fabulous football and really dominate, like, quality teams. And then only, and this is part of what the point I'm getting to, because all of a sudden, Crows will win a game, Port will be the top team, and all of the media here, it's all of a sudden, oh, it's a resurgence, off they go.
To me it's an exercise.
Wonder, is that fair? Because all of a sudden they get beaten by a lower team, and we've got these up and downs that make it really hard.
Well, Port being up and down week by week, Adelaide's been up and down half by half. Often their first halves were actually quite good, and they kept people, other teams in the game at half time because they couldn't kick straight. They couldn't put them away. And then the second half, most of the time they turned up and, well, didn't really turn up and lost too often.
And I think that just comes down to the list profiles. If you look for Port, they've got got some young players. They're going to be inconsistent. One week they're superstars, one week they're dregs. And with the Crows, they're getting older, so they're tiring towards the end of games and stuff as well. You know, it's easy to explain if you just sort of look at it from
my opinion on the Port side of things. Well, really this year was, I didn't think so much the inconsistency amongst the younger players, was actually inconsistency amongst your middle level and senior level players in the games you didn't play well.
And a coach who doesn't know what he's doing.
So right now, in the season, there's a lot of pressure on Hinkley and there's been a lot of pressure on Pike. Now, it's Port Adelaide have come out and said, we're backing Ken, he's going to stay. Well, that's what, and so you think, okay, will they stick to that? But so Port Adelaide, even though, and they finished higher than Adelaide, they probably have finished the season. People said, okay, you guys did all right. You had a bit of up and down, but it's not too bad, even though there's a bit of pressure during the season. But Adelaide now are under a lot of pressure, aren't they? And with this external review, what are your feelings about that? Because there's been some interesting stuff in the media. Some are supporting it. And Malcolm Blight, for example, came out and really ripped into that process.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with an external review, because if they've had internal reviews in the past, then clearly they haven't necessarily worked out, because this year's been what it has. What I would say about the external review is it probably should have been undertaken about a month ago already, because right now, at the end of the season, we're in negotiations around various players potentially going places and that sort of thing. And if the external review comes out and says, well, actually, you need to get rid of the coach, then all of a sudden the person that's then going to come in at some point in time down the track is not going to be able to be part of the decision-making around these trades, which you would have thought was probably fairly fundamental. So to me, it's a timing issue. Got it all wrong. Should have been done when we lost to Carlton. And you go, oh, sorry, that's it. You know, you've got to do something. And I think they just took too long to do it.
Do you think the unbalance in the media, the way LA Crows and Port Power, sort of, that there's that... all that push to succeed, do you think when they play, when they talk them up and everything like that, do you think psychologically it affects them, that they think, oh, we've won the game?
I think it affects the Crows very adversely. The golden boys in the media, I think that they get a very inflated view of what they're actually capable of. I think Adelaide suffer from the lack of criticism in the media. They genuinely do. I think Port's suffering from the over-criticism in the media is more to do with the sort of crowd and the attitude towards the club. But the Crows suffer more from the over-positive attitude.
It depends. Being an outsider, you don't really know what the players are actually reading, listening to, whatever. So it's actually a bit difficult to really work that out. There is, I think, a lack of hard evidence, statistical analysis of the players and how they're actually performing, and you look at the data, and it's there, but the media seems to be pretty slack, I think, in looking at that and then seeing what players are doing on any particular week, and therefore being able to be positive or negative about it.
It's funny you say that, because I know that Port have gone the other way this year, and this is one of the criticisms of the game style we were talking about last week. they're playing by the numbers. They've gone really in with the data crunching, and they've decided the numbers say this, so we're going to do this. And if you look at the statistics yesterday, Porto high on all the indicators of a successful team, apart from actually winning bloody games of football. And that infuriates me. And that's where I say it's down to poor coaching, where you just rely on numbers and rather than your instincts and knowing football and going, these tweaks need to be changed here. It doesn't matter what the numbers say. If we're not scoring enough goals, let's stop bombing into the inside 50.
Now, this is to you, John. Mark Ricciuto, club legend, after the last game and against the Dogs, came out and basically really ripped into supporters. And he had to actually come and apologise. But to some degree, I agree with some of what he would like, the idea, I guess, of what he would try, the intent. He really said, but what did he say? If you can't support the club, don't support it. Don't barrack for the club anymore, which is...
Yeah, I think that's probably... He clearly seemed to regret that one sentence. And part of the issue when you're sort of being made to provide a comment off the cuff a lot of the time, then the message can come out slightly not correctly.
You think so. That links back to a bit what we were talking about last week, like you said, with social media, because it's easy now when I've watched the game, I'm frustrated, I can get out there and I can, as a spectator or a member, I can write whatever I want, not really thinking about the process. Which I feel that's what I worry about. I think it's just unfair to the actual players themselves because there's no doubt that they've gone out and played as well as they can and put their best effort in. It just hasn't worked. But I think it's a reaction to that social media build-up where there's been a lot of criticism of the players and coaches and the same with Port as well.
I know it seems like a sly dig to say about the Crows. I'm sorry, John, that's not my aim. But I think Ricciuto has so many conflicts of interest that this is always going to happen to him. He commentates on Port games, Crows games. He's got his media role. He's got his outside business things. I just think he's going to be eternally distracted by that.
There was an interesting discussion on the ABC Radio Sports on the weekend where they actually brought up that issue. Around and what I can't remember which commentator it was going on and sort of saying, well, he can see a point in time, maybe when Eddie retires, that you either have one role or the other. You're either a club board member or you're a media person. There are conflicts all the time.
During the showdown, he was on the Port bench for crying out loud. You know, yeah. What sport allows a chairman or whatever he is of the club,
football director
of your main rival. To sit on the bench during a game, it's crazy.
It's interesting because the AFL has that, you know, like Elliot Collingwood and Port Power have David Koch, is it? You know, so
get rid of him as well, please.
Yeah. But there seems to be that infiltration of the media into the AFL teams, and I think
it's an entertainment industry. Yeah, I get that, but you've got to keep the sort of the product itself excluded from this sort of over thing with the entertainment industry.
So, John, sort of just playing on that a little bit further, what do you think needs to happen for the Crows to get back on track?
Oh, pick some players that have got good ball skills and can run fast, as every team's probably after. That would be a really good start.
Is there any specific players like on bowlers? Charman?
The game against Collingwood a couple of weeks ago, it was very clear to me watching that when they put Smith and Jones, young kid, in the middle, late in the third quarter when the game was pretty much gone, why they didn't do it before, I don't know, but all of a sudden there was pace in the middle and I think five or six out of seven or eight centre bounces, we actually got the ball and moved forward. Now, that has been a rarity for Adelaide. So having some pace, having some size, you know, the guys like Fife and Dangerfield and so on, who are big and strong Crips, we need people like that.
Especially on a big ground. Like Adelaide Oval is a big ground. When you get a smaller ground like Sydney Cricket Ground, it's probably not as pertinent. But yeah, I like the idea about a bit of speed. What about Port Power?
Well, Port Adelaide are on the right track. Yeah, we've got the Rosies coming, we've got the Dursmans coming through, we've got Laydams, he's going to be a fantastic ruck. They're definitely on the right track. There's only one thing holding Port Adelaide back, and that's the coach.
Okay.
He does not have that instinct to win a premiership in the AFL, unfortunately, because he's a nice guy.
So, Sean, what's your take on this conversation?
Well, I think we've gone in circles.
Yeah.
We have hit some interesting points, and I think it's good to speak to, like, really strong, passionate members of both teams in Adelaide. And I think that's the hard part. I mean, there is so much analysis of football these days, and we're, of course, doing a little bit ourselves. But I hope that both teams, for the sake of Adelaide and for the sake of their players, make the eight next year. And can play in the finals. And so I think that will make South Australia a lot more of a positive place to be.
Well, Nathan, John, thank you very much again for coming on the show. We will do this again, I'm sure, down the track. It's been brilliant having you on for the two shows. And Sean, what do you reckon? We've got to pencil them in again, maybe pre-season next year.
I think we should start a new show.
Well, so ends another Card on Race Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.